I'm here with some of the most amazing kids from Lone Star Kids, and we want to talk about Mother's Day today. So everybody say hi. Can you say hi for me? Everybody say hi.
Hi.
Right, we've got some great kids here. Now, I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and let me start with the first question. Who here has the very best mom? Raise your hand. Okay. Who here thinks that their mom is pretty funny? Raise your hand. Okay, so if that's the case, who wants to tell me something funny about their mom? Who can tell me something really funny about their mom? What makes their mom funny?
She smiles like this. She doesn't believe in anything.
She doesn't believe in anything.
Like when we get her presents, when we get her like more presents in the when she expected, she says, "I don't believe it."
Oh, so she's always just so thankful and grateful and shocked that you guys do more for her than she expected. That's pretty cool.
She makes this like monkey sound.
Oh, wow.
She's funny because she makes a lot of jokes.
That one time, my mom hid in the shower with a wolf face on, and my brother came to the bathroom. Then my mom scared him so bad. Now he's 14, and he always checks in the bathroom if there's any wolves before he comes to go to the potty.
So here's what I want to ask. Trenton and Trevor, tell me your favorite thing that your mom cooked.
Gumbo.
Gumbo? Cake.
She doesn't cook.
Okay. My dad cooks.
Hey, Stella, tell me this. What is your favorite food that your mom makes for you?
Cucumber.
Girl, I love cucumbers.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. That's a good thing. That's good. Ellie, tell me your favorite thing that your mom makes.
Pizza.
Pizza. Does she make homemade pizza or does she get it out of the freezer?
Gets it out of the freezer.
That's good. That's good stuff right there. Freezer pizza is good pizza. I love it. Okay, Isaac, what do you love the most about your mom?
She is a great mom, and she really cares about me popping out my elbow. It hurt a lot.
And you went to the hospital, didn't you?
I got to drive in the ambulance.
Oh, was that fun?
She had babies for another family.
She did. Your mom was a surrogate mom. How cool is that?
She helps a lot of people with their children.
She does. She does.
She helps people get better at writing and stuff.
Isaac, what about you, buddy?
To know that the world, that my mom does not want us to have a dog.
What is something the whole world needs to know about your mom?
That we plant like a lot of plants.
That you plant a lot of plants.
That she's kind, she's beautiful, she's nice.
She has a lot of stuff. Like, she's very kind, she makes a lot of good food, she works hard, she does all that stuff.
Is your mom better than most moms?
Yeah.
Is she better than all moms?
I don't know.
But is she the best mom for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you were going to tell the whole world something about your mom, something that they need to know, what would you tell them?
That she's the best mom in the world.
I love that. Okay, so everybody, we're about to have to end. I want everybody to, at the count of three, to say Happy Mother's Day. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy Mother's Day. Everybody, wave. Thank you, Mom. Cowboy Church, Happy Mother's Day. We love you.
Okay, so that was a great idea in theory. I really thought, you know, we're going to make this super easy. We're going to get on Zoom, video this, and be done. And that was at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. And at 12:30 on Saturday, we were finally done because putting a bunch of kids who've been under quarantine together where they haven't seen each other, there were so many things we had to edit out because this is Mother's Day. We didn't want moms to feel bad about themselves, but it was funny. And I'm going to tell you something. We do have the best kids in the world. And when they weren't on camera, where we were talking about other things, the stories that they gave, the stuff that they said about their moms was just amazing. And so that was fun. Happy Mother's Day to you guys from Lone Star Cowboy Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Amber Noble. I'm the next gen pastor here. And I want to start by saying that I recognize that the call of God on my life or anybody else's life is not determined by people. But if it wasn't for our pastors recognizing and equipping people to walk in their calling, I wouldn't be able to do this right now. So Pastor Darla, Pastor Randy, thank you for the honor of getting to be here on Mother's Day. It truly is an honor. As I was thinking a little bit about what are we going to talk about on Mother's Day, what do I want to share with you? I started thinking about the verse that the Lord has really just dropped in my heart during this season. And that's found in Hosea 10:12. It says, "So with a view to righteousness, that righteousness like seed may germinate, reap in accordance with mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek and search diligently for the Lord and for the long and to long for his blessing until he comes to rain righteousness and his gift of salvation on you." Break up your uncultivated ground. Uncultivated ground is just not prepared for raising crops. And you can look at that and go, what in the world does that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because to me, it has everything to do with that. When you think about Mother's Day, it's an incredibly special day, and we reminisce on things that our moms do, like what Pastor Randy was sharing a while ago. But for some, it's a day that serves as just a cold reminder of the inability to have children, the loss of a child, the loss of a mother, estranged relationships, and so on and so forth. Over the years, I've had friends who love God with all their heart. Many are pastors' wives. Many are on staff at churches. But Mother's Day is the day they choose to not go to church because of the pain that it represents. You think about the people that are affected by the single moms. So many single moms. I was talking to a couple of my friends yesterday, and I was like, do you mind if I share this? And they were like, absolutely. One of them, my friend Kara, just one of the most beautiful people you've ever met. Her and her husband pastored for 17 years, an incredible church. He was one of the best preachers I've ever heard. She could sing like nobody's business. They had four beautiful children, and a very long, ugly story short, he decided one day it wasn't for him, and he pursued another woman. He left his wife, his kids, his church, his calling to go after somebody that wasn't supposed to be in the picture. And so for the last 8 years, Kara, who still loves the Lord, who has not blamed the Lord, has been raising those babies by herself. Then one of my very best friends, Shelby Cadwallader, just 2 years ago here recently, without explanation, lost her husband to suicide and left to raise her four kids. And in talking to both of them yesterday, they were just like, it's my story, but God has been faithful. Then there's moms who've lost children, like the one lady everybody in this community loves, Cindy May, who just a year ago watched her son take his last breath from struggling and fighting for his life from the horrible disease of cancer. And now we know we're going to get to see him on the other side of eternity, but it doesn't make it easier, and it doesn't make this day easier for some people. What about the women who were never given a chance? My sister-in-law, who's well past the age of having children, that's a nice way of saying she's old. She, precious, wonderful woman, always wanted a family, always wanted to be married, always wanted to have kids, and never was afforded that opportunity. None of the pain that we experience today on this earth is anything new. And it doesn't take a lot to look and dig into the Bible and find that those stories are very similar to what we see. The Bible's full of stories of barrenness. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, who had to share her husband with her sister. Elizabeth, Hannah, whose husband says to her, "Why are you upset? You have me. Isn't that better than 10 sons?" I'm sure that was one of the founding thoughts behind Hallmark. We got to help these guys out. Don't say that. Then there are accounts of losses of children, accidental deaths from babies being smothered in their sleep, sudden deaths from fevers and illnesses. There are women who had to do unthinkable things just to try to keep their kids alive, like Jochebed, who God gave her this baby, and she had to trust God in uncertainty by putting this baby in a basket and putting him down the river in hopes that God would save him. And the very baby she trusted with God grew up to be the one that set the Hebrew children free out of Egypt. There are women that are left destitute or sad from the loss of their children. Mary, a very young teenage mom, who also happened to be a virgin, gives birth to a baby that would later grow up and lay his life down for her sins and yours and mine. Naomi, she lost her husband and both of her boys in a foreign land with nothing left, nothing to look forward to. But she stepped up in the role of a mom in her daughter-in-law's life. And because of her impact on her daughter-in-law began to believe in the truth of who God was. She later married and put herself in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of women and mothers who are grieving. There are several different kinds of women, I believe, listening today. There are women who are sad, who are broken, and there are some who've experienced indescribable joy. And I want you to know this day is for both of you. Just in case you're not aware, your righteousness is not reflected by your womb. Let me say that one more time. Your righteousness is not reflected by your womb. Every month, our pastors have this sermon planning meeting. They only let me come once a month because I think that I distract and I just say dumb things and talk about things that I don't want to talk about. So anyway, once a month I go to this meeting, and actually it's the first of the month. And so this last week we were at Pastor Randy and Pastor Darla's house having this meeting, and they're talking about sermons coming up, and we begin to talk about Mother's Day, and Pastor Randy in Pastor Randy form says, "Well, I think everybody should celebrate Mother's Day because everybody's got a mother. That's how we got here." And we all laughed. Pastor Darla smirked and just kind of shook her head like, what are we doing here? And I laughed about that like throughout the day. I thought about that and I was just like, what if that's all he said? If he got up here, "We should all celebrate mothers. Everybody's got one. That's how you got here. Let's pray." And then that was it. Like, it made me laugh. But I started thinking about it and I was like, wait a minute. Whether he was joking or not, there's some validity to what he said. I started thinking about my mom and the moms in my life that are very reason that I'm standing here right now, and they're worth being celebrated. God gave me a mom, absolutely awesome mom, who loved the Lord, loved my dad, loved my sisters, loved the church. She did everything she could to raise us the best she knew how. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, but my mom's love for Jesus and her family, although it played a huge role in my life, in forming and shaping who I am, there were so many other women along the way that stepped up and stepped in. God gave me a mama. Let me rephrase that. God gave me a mom, but he put a lot of mamas in my life. And for you mamas, you know the difference between a mom and a mama. He put a lot of mamas in my life. I want to share a few of those with you today. My grandma Garrison showed me that women in ministry can both be strong and yet ladylike. They can trust the leadership of their husband as their husband is being led by the Holy Spirit. My grandma Daniels, she believed you should pray about everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. And through that, she showed me that prayer changes things. That if you'll take time in your day to get on your knees and get before God, he'll get involved in every situation of your life. My Mimi, she married my grandpa after my grandma Garrison went home to be with Jesus. And she stepped into a very big family and a very big church that was loved so well by my grandma, never trying to take her place, but finding her own, and has done such a fantastic job, and our family wouldn't be the same without her. My Aunt Brenda, who instilled a love for missions in my heart. She loves me like I'm her own, always has and always will. And the people that know her think that she was destined to be their best friend. She just has that gift and that ability. my Aunt Charlotta, the ultimate pastor's wife slash missionary's wife. She takes every opportunity to let me know how much she loves me, how much she values me, how much she believes in the call of God on my life. She's never missed my birthday, never. And when she knows in all the years of traveling to Haiti, when she knows that I'm going to be in Haiti, she'll try to adjust her trip to be there so we can be there together. And then my Aunt Sharon, who put up with all the shenanigans of us as teenagers, and she took it in stride when I flooded her bathroom, and like really flooded her bathroom. And it was back in the day when bathrooms had carpet, which is gross, but like anyway, we destroyed the bathroom. And the many times we wrecked her kitchen, and I broke her brand new rainbow vacuum that she bought from that door-to-door salesman that cost like $3.5 billion. Like, she never yelled at us. Sometimes she laughed. She always made brownies. And I don't think she ever told my parents because they never acted like they knew. But her love for Jesus was expressed through her grace for us. And I learned a lot about that grace. Then there were people who were not in my family, people that impacted my life, who came in seasons and left. First is Miss Spikes, my second grade teacher. I could write a book about Miss Spikes. In second grade, a boy named Sean McDonald threw a Velcro ball, you know, that went to the Velcro dartboards. He threw it at my head. And I had very, very curly hair. And I had to go to the front of the classroom, and Miss Spikes had to carefully help me get that Velcro ball out of my hair. And she wiped the tears away from my eyes. I was embarrassed. I was crying. I was the girl with the weird hair. I was so upset. So she takes me into the bathroom. She reaches up, and she takes her wig off. I didn't know she wore a wig. I just thought she did a lot of cool stuff with her hair all the time. And she explained to me that she had a condition that kept her from growing hair. And I will never forget, she leaned over and she looked at me and she said, "Baby, your curls are beautiful. And what you hate, I wish I had. Hold your head high." And then she put her wig back on. Like, we had that conversation without the wig. It was kind of weird. But she puts it back on and we go. She was also the lady that when I would keep my name from going from the happy face to the sad face, I wasn't allowed to have my ears pierced. She would bring clip-on earrings and let me wear them all day long in class. And they're not little. Like, maybe that's why I love big earrings. They were these big old honking earrings that I would wear. And I'd go on the playground like, "Don't touch me. I've got big earrings on." She was also the lady that gave me a cart, a special cart, with a badge that had my name on it. And when I would get done with my work every day, I got to go around to all of the classrooms in our grade school and collect the erasers to take to get cleaned from the special eraser machine that our fundraiser bought. It was a glorified vacuum cleaner upside down. And everybody looked at me and they're like, "How come she gets to do that? Why does she? Why don't we get to do that?" And I mean, like, she made me feel, Miss Spikes made me feel like I was the most special person in the world. And it wasn't until Phil and I had been married for a while, our kids were born, and we were sitting around the table at Christmas or Thanksgiving with my family, and we started talking about Miss Spikes, and my dad looked at me like I was crazy because he didn't remember the story the way I did. And I said, I was so cool. He said, "Were you?" "Maybe not." What I didn't know was that I was the kid that always disappeared. I would get bored, I would leave. They'd find me on another playground. They'd find me down the street. They'd find me in other classrooms. I was always just doing, I would get bored and I had major ADD and I was just gone. So to avoid putting me on heavy medicine, they said, "We've got to find something for Amber to do." So they gave me a cart with a badge. And I looked at my parents and I said, "So I wasn't special?" And my dad said, "Little bus special." And I was like, "Okay." But she had the ability to make me feel like my weird hair and my weird actions were absolutely normal. Then there was Miss McInnes, a little Southern Baptist missionary woman who lived in Costa Rica the same time I did. And I met with her once, sometimes twice a week, and talked to her about some things in my life that were very broken, some things that had happened that my mom and dad didn't even know about. And that was my very first experience with inner healing, that God cared about the things that I didn't know what to do with. Then there was Miss Hayden, where we got our daughter's name from. I could say a lot about her, but basically this, she loved me when I was the most unlovable. Tina Burke, my youth pastor's wife, she was not intimidated by me being the worst kid in our youth group. We had a huge youth group, and I took that title well. And she would look at me, she would always talk to me, but she'd look at me and she'd say, you know what, Amber? I'm going to tell you something. God has big things for you, kid. But that's why the enemy tries so hard. And she'd say, don't you dare let him win. Don't you dare. And then there's a lady by the name of Heidi Baker, who I don't know personally. She's an insanely joyful lady who loves the Lord, and her love for him is so contagious. She built a orphanage in Mozambique and is the founder of this ministry called Iris International. And it's just, she does great things for all these people. I was at a conference a few years back, and she was speaking at this conference, and they were breaking for lunch. And so we were going to go eat lunch and come back, and this was so amazing. And we were hearing from all these people who were just so inspired by God. And you're like, man, I want to be inspired like this. And as I was walking out, I walked past Heidi. And she put her hand on my shoulder, and I turned, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's Heidi Baker. Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And she takes her hands, and she puts them on my face, cupping my cheeks like a mama does with her baby. And she looked me in the eyes, and she said, I'm going to tell you something. And I wrote this down in my journal. I had to go back and find it. She said, don't let the lack of understanding that this world has cause you to stop seeking the full understanding of your Heavenly Father. And then as she walked away, she turned back and she said, young lady, he has so much for you. I don't even think I ate lunch that day. I just wrote everything down. I was just like, oh my goodness. The countless counselors, youth leaders, and Sunday school teachers over the years that impacted me. And then there's my tribe, my girls, my people, that through my life have been my ride or die. They won't let me settle. They don't let me feel sorry for myself. They push me to dream. They won't allow me to give up. They've never allowed me to cry by myself. And they also don't let me laugh by myself. They've impacted the way I see people, the way I see my family, the way I see God, and the way I see ministry. So what? What do all these people have in common? Every one of these women have taught me how to love. They've impacted me. They've stretched me. And they've made me who I am. Why? Because they all had a mother's heart, even the ones that weren't mamas. Because to say that someone has a mother's heart is to say, like Pastor Randy said, they just love like God. They had a mother's heart. They loved me with the love of God. So let's go back to that verse. And I'm not going to keep you guys real long today, but I really feel like somebody needs to hear this. Go back to Hosea 10:12. And let's break this down real quick, okay? Sow with a view to righteousness, that righteousness like seed may germinate, reap in accordance with mercy and loving kindness, break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek and search diligently for the Lord, and to long for his blessing until he comes to rain righteousness and his gift of salvation to you. For every lady listening, if you're a mom of a brand new baby, of a teenager, if your kids are grown, or if you're that mom that's been trying to homeschool during this quarantine and you find yourself locked in the pantry with the lights off, eating raw cookie dough, thinking to yourself, I know why some animals eat their young. Be this. Be that to your kids. Be the one who's willing to love them the way Jesus loves them. Break the grounds of their uncultivated hearts so that they can grow to be the people that God has called them to be. And for those of you who say, man, I'm just getting started in this journey with Jesus and my kids are grown, I want you to know I'm looking you in the eye right now and I'm telling you it's not too late. You reach out to those kids, you break those uncultivated hearts, and you begin to plant seeds of who God is and what he has in store for them. And if you've suffered loss, or you long to have kids, you can't, you haven't. Be this. See, we look at Mother's Day and think it's just for moms. And we get mad and we resent God or we resent other people because things haven't played out the way they were supposed to. But I'm going to tell you something. You still can be this. Be the Mrs. Spikes. Be the Miss McKinnises. Be the Heidi Bakers. There is a world full of young people who need mama figures to step up and step in and help cultivate the call of God in the hearts of these young people. This generation needs you more than they ever have. They're lost, they're broken, they're hurting, and maybe they may not have been physically your baby, but God's put them in your life for such a time as this. That doesn't take away the pain. I'm not trying to downgrade the hurt and the loss. But I will tell you that God still wants to use the desire he put in your life to change the world. I heard it said one time that when you can't have what you want, be what you can. So many of us are celebrating this day very different. With our moms, without our moms. With our kids, without our kids. Alone, wishing we had kids. With our kids, wishing they would go back to school. But the reality is, the heart of a mother is parallel to the heart of God. Right, wherever you're at, home, here, I want you just to bow your heads with me. I think going through Mother's Day and just honoring the moms who have actually physically been mothers, we have a great loss and miss out on honoring the moms who are the mom figures. Like I said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mom. But I also wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for all the mamas in my life. So where you're at right now, you may be mad at God. You may be angry that things haven't played out the way you thought they were supposed to. But I want you to know he sees you. He knows your name. He knows your heart's desires. He has not turned his back on you. He laid his life down for you, and he has a plan to continue to do great things in your life if you'll let him. So if you're at home right now and you say, you know what, I've never, man, woman, child, whatever, this isn't just for the mamas. If you can say, I need to get my life right with God. I need to give my life to Jesus. I want you just to pray this prayer with me. The Bible says that if we believe with our mouth and we confess with our hearts, I mean, we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. He will forgive us and save us of our sins. It's that simple. So we're going to pray this with you right now. Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I ask that you forgive me, cleanse my heart, renew my mind, and help me to put myself in a place around other believers, in church, in small groups, where I can continue to grow. And for the rest of you, I want you to know that if you grew up without a mama, you're where you're at because of somebody. If you grew up in dysfunction, God's the God. He's a healing God. He can turn that around. And if you're sitting and waiting on God, don't stop waiting on him, but do something while you're waiting. Reach out to somebody around you. Some of you mamas that you've raised your kids, there's young mamas that they're trying to figure this out. Step in. Be what you needed when you were their age. I want to pray for every mama. Those who physically have kids, those that don't have kids yet, and those that God has called to be a mama to a lot of kids. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for every mama in my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you never gave up on me, and it obviously took a tribe to get me to where I'm at. But Lord, I thank you that when you put these desires in our heart, they're put there for a purpose. And Lord, I pray for every woman within the sound of my voice, young, old, that they would stop right now and go, Lord, what is it that you have for me? Help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous, God, with the call on our life. Help us to be willing to get involved in other people's journey. Help us to not be afraid to step in to a mess that maybe we can help with. Use us, Jesus. Lord, if our relationship with our families are not where it needs to be, I pray that you just begin to heal. You're a God of restoration, and you complete what you start. I pray for all the mamas of the new babies. I pray for the moms that are in grade with their kids in grade school, with the teenagers, with the grown kids, the moms who've lost their kids, and the moms that are still waiting. What an honor and a privilege to have a heart for people that looks like the heart of God, the heart of a mom. Lord, I pray that this day be a special day. You wrap your arms around every single person who's joyous and every single person that's grieving. For the single moms that feel alone, thank you that you're the father to the fatherless. You step in, God, to do more than anybody could ever do in our lives. We glorify you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So let me close with this. If you're a female, based off of everything I just said, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. We love you. Lone Star Cowboy Church loves you. Stay connected with us. Anything we can do for you, please don't hesitate to reach out. You guys have an awesome week. Mm-hmm.